Okay, I hate to call the coffee break to an end, but we should gather because if we have Rabbi Cohen with us, we want to make good use of the time. Thank you. I want to thank the Yellow Group for the food today. Okay. And let's see, what else do I need to announce? I need to announce that next week we have Mirabai Starr, who's our author, and you are invited to bring your lunch and stay after and have lunch with her. But you have to bring a sack lunch, and if you have coolers, you should bring your cooler. Am I correct? Okay. Oh, I would like a show of hands of how many will be here to stay after for lunch. It's quite a few. Okay, we're good. Rabbi Cohen.
Hey, hello everybody. Hello again. So I was asked a very important question during the break that I just want to take a moment to respond to. Is it Laurel? Asked me about the fact that I said that after I was after the debris flow, when I was entering into these conversations with people who had lived through it in one way or another, and I said that I came to understand that my role was storyteller, you know, and she was surprised by my use of that word, and I really appreciated her asking that because in saying that I really left out a very important step. What I meant to say, and what is true, is that most important was first for me to discover that my role was to be an attentive listener, to be present, to listen. And then, because of my position as the rabbi in the congregation, an important part of my role came to be to convey those stories and to, in some way, weave them together into a collective story. And so in that way, I saw that my role was to be a storyteller, but it really was, I would say, first and foremost, to be an attentive listener. So thank you for that question, Laurel. Does anybody have any other questions about anything that I said or anything I didn't say, about Judaism, about anything? I'm really open to anything. And if you don't have any, I will say a little bit more about Jonah, but I really want to be responsive to whatever you're interested in. Hello, Teresa.
Thank you for being here. It's really a pleasure to listen to you and think. So, the idea of being aware that here I am in those moments that arise in our lives when we're confronted with suffering or injustice it's kind of like a moment of reckoning with who we are in some ways, and but it's also a battle with there are a couple of battles that it makes me think of. Last week when Imam Yama was here, he talked about in the Quran the word for a person or an individual is one who forgets. And it made me think that the way we have our society structured, it's so convenient to forget about those things, because the message that we get is we need to strive to be comfortable. And I know often when I'm met with those moments in my life, where the Hineni moments, I know that if I do something, often my life's going to be changed. And it's not necessarily going to be... It's not necessarily going to be for a comfortable reason. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how do you see, this is a way too big question, but the way that we in society think about what are our pursuits and how can we become more comfortable with or more open to receiving those messages with, and what's the frame of mind that we could have?
Thank you, Teresa. We've known each other for 30 years. She always comes up with challenging questions. I want to start by sharing with you something that you may have heard, which is a definition of a prophet that I once heard, and I've heard it actually from a number of different quarters, but the definition of a prophet that my rabbi growing up once shared with us was that the role of the prophet is to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. Have you heard that? It's such a great description that it works. You know, for when you think about the biblical prophets, sometimes they are comforting, and sometimes they are disturbing. And so that insight is just sort of explaining that there are times in our life when what we truly need is comfort, and then there are other times what we truly need is to be disturbed. So that's what, you know, that's the first thing that your question made me think of, Teresa, which is that, you know, I agree that there are times when to say hineni, to say here I am, and to respond actually leads us into disturbance and disruption and upheaval and confusion. And I would say that what I would say is that, you know, first and foremost, self-awareness and discernment of, you know, in my own life, am I more in need, you know, at any given moment of being discomforted or being comforted is a very simple, well, not so simple, a very basic kind of question. There are definitely times in my life when it's clear that what I need is to take care of myself, to allow other people to take care of me, so that I can then go out and take care of others. But then there are other times when, you know, I'm ready to enter into a state of turbulence and of disturbance. And so, but having that self-awareness, I think, is one of the hardest and most important parts of my, you know, how I would respond to your question, Teresa. You know, at times it's just a matter of, you know, first get a good night's sleep. which I don't know about for you, but for me, if I am sleep deprived, I'm really not good for much, you know, other than biting people's heads off. That's a quick response. If more comes to me, I'll share it. Hi.
Hi. Well, in our New Testament, and you probably heard this too, Jesus has always said it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Mm.
I always believed that.
Mm.
I'm head of a large family right now that has full of its problems. My life has been full of, probably too full, of helping people solve their problems and knowing when to step away, which is the hard part.
Mm.
But anyway, last year, on January 9th, I was the recipient of simply having nothing to do except receive, which confused me a little bit. My job was to get out. I was right in the middle, literally in the middle of it. The debris flow went right around us. but left us with no power, no gas, no facilities whatsoever, not even a cell phone. So everybody was out wandering around because that was the only way we could find out, word of mouth. Well, I heard over here that they're sending helicopters, but can you take your pets? And a lot of talking. No, the car completely blocked. You couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And the man at the gate of the Burnham Wood Club seemed to know more than anything else, because he's right sitting there right in front of what's going on. He had to stay all night, too. Can you imagine in his little gatehouse? But anyway, he had more information. So I wandered down to the club itself because I heard that there were helicopters. Lots of people were wandering. We were all talking to each other. It was kind of nice in a way. But we still hadn't been able to contact our relatives that we were okay. I mean, we were worried about what they were thinking. And in the meantime, it was cold and wet.
Yeah.
And we couldn't cook food. And our refrigerators were defrosting all on their own. And everything was kind of going wrong in the people that still hadn't had their houses obliterated.
Yeah.
Those were the people that got on the helicopters and got out right away.
Yeah.
The rest of us had to wait a little bit till they figured out what to do with so many of us.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I was down there at the club, and a woman beside asking and watching people get on helicopters and seeing people go away with their big dogs because they wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
The woman next to me said, I still have heat in my house. Come down and stay with me.
Mm.
And my first thought was, oh, I can't possibly do that. My second thought was, oh, yes, I can do that.
I can do that.
Yeah. But she didn't know what she was getting in for, because then I had to explain that I had pets.
Mm-hmm.
She had this beautiful house with white rugs, immaculate. My rabbit got loose. You know what rabbits do when they get loose. Well, it was a lot messier than she was expecting it. And she was as gracious as she could be about it. And that was my lesson on how to receive.
I really
needed her, and she needed to do it for me.
Yeah.
And we're just best friends now.
Really. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you so much for your description of the God of love and the God of anger. Mm. Because I see that we jump quickly, or some of us jump quickly, to God is love. Mm. And therefore we don't have our feelings about things that happen to us. Because I shouldn't be angry, or I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't do that. God is love, so I have to do the spiritual bypass and jump to love. May still have anger, but that's not socially or whatever.
Yeah.
So that idea that this God gives us this humanity and gives us emotions of full range, not just you only get love. I'm only going to create you with love, the capacity to love. So I appreciate that. And also what you said about learning about God from your mother or your parents.
Mm.
I was adopted at birth, and I never was bugged by that, because I just said, God delivered me by taxi cab, and God's my father. and that even as a child, no one told me that. That was always my reality. And so that idea of having that freedom, and when I found my birth parents, I realized that, oh, psychologically, I got to be a clean slate, even though I grew up with parents, but I could be whatever I wanted because I had all the freedom to not be like my mother or like my father, because I didn't know who they were. And God was my father, which gave me this real big field, which I didn't even understand till I was a grown up, and psychologically. But that God of anger and that God of love, what would you say to that tendency in us or people to just want to jump to love when they're in the struggle or when they're in this emotional field of 1-9 is the perfect example, but it's the car accident, it's the whatever.
Right.
So a little bit more about that.
Oh, okay. I don't think I have that much to add to what you've just said very eloquently, but I do feel like it's very important to attend to all of the powerful emotions that we're feeling, and to not bury them and not repress them because we think that they are wrong or unacceptable or whatever. Now, having said that, I understand that anger can be very destructive, and that's part of what we see in the way that God behaves in the Torah. And so I think that one of the great challenges of being human and of being created in the image of God is how to honor our full range of emotions without causing damage to the people around us and to ourselves. I don't think there's a simple answer to that, but I think it's a challenge that God faces, and it's a challenge that we face. So that's the best I can do. But to be aware of that challenge and to see it as work to be done and, you know, over a lifetime. That's the great thing, is that the great challenges keep us busy until the very end of whenever that is.
So I guess that one of the challenges is to be able to look at things and just go, oh, there's something I have to learn here. Mm-hmm. Thinking about 1-9, it was like I was in a safe place. But we got these alarms in the middle. I mean, we got 3 or 4 of them, and they were loud. Mm-hmm. And it was scary because we'd never gotten that kind of thing before. Mm-hmm. But when you look back from here and to the fire and to the flood, it disrupted all of us in our city. And I was really impressed with the way people came together. Mm. You know, the thing about 805 Strong, and yeah. I've actually gone and worked with the Bucket Brigade, and that is such a wonderful group to work with.
Yes.
It was just so impressive to see what happened. And I'm much more confident with myself to face disturbance now than I was before.
Interesting.
I mean, every fire is scary to all of us.
Yeah.
But I've come to, like, every time there's a fire, I go, do I really need everything in the house? How do I feel about this? You know, it affects my thinking about that. So the disturbance allows me to push ahead and think some more. So when you're disturbed, I guess you should think about what you can learn out of the disturbance.
Thank you. I think that's a wonderful comment. Lo?
I just wanted to mention something from an Eastern religion. I know we're not talking about that specifically, but I've been quite interested in Hinduism for many years, especially the Vedanta. Mm-hmm. And in the Hindu tradition, there is a so-called god Shiva that represents the universal God. But he has 3 different aspects. Mm. The aspects of love and creativity, and also maintenance or sustenance, mm-hmm. and also destruction.
Yeah.
So you've got everything there right there in one person. Mm. But it's just reality, really. That's what I like about it.
Thank you. I do have a couple of comments in response. First of all, since you mentioned Vedanta, I know that Imam Yama last week mentioned his and my friendship, which I would echo that. I really see him as one of, as a brother here in Santa Barbara. And I feel that we are so lucky. Our whole community is so lucky to have Yama as a leader in the community. But another is Sister Vrajaprana out at Vedanta, who is a very, very dear friend of mine, and we've committed to each other that depending on who goes first, the other one will definitely speak at the funeral. So, yeah. So anyway, the other thing that I want to say a little bit more about God. And about God in response specifically to what you were saying about Shiva in Hinduism. You know, there's I want to try to keep this as simple and clear as possible. In our prayers, in Jewish prayer, every morning, So I said this prayer this morning at sunrise. There is a prayer, we bless God, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, Ose Shalom Uvorei Et Hakol, which means creator of light and maker of darkness, creator of peace, Ose Shalom, creator of peace and or maker of peace and creator of everything. That's the line in our prayer. I am, you know, blessing God, creator of light, maker of darkness, maker of peace, and creator of everything. It's a quote. It's a quote from the prophet Isaiah. But there's one word that's changed. In Isaiah, Isaiah, the prophet, speaking for God, you know, that's Isaiah's job. He says, I am Adonai, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, creator of light and maker of darkness, Ose Shalom, maker of peace, and Uvorei Ra, which means maker of peace and creator of evil. Now, the editor, the ancient editor of the Jewish prayer book, could not handle that idea. And so they changed it. They changed Isaiah's words. And in our prayers we say, God, creator of light, maker of darkness, maker of peace, and creator of everything. So you could say that everything includes evil, but it's a much less stark and truly disturbing idea than Isaiah's original idea. But it's there. You can check. I don't remember the exact chapter and verse of Isaiah, but somewhere in the 40s. Somewhere in the 40s chapters of Isaiah, where we really see the clearest expression in the entire Hebrew Bible of true monotheism. True monotheism sees God as being behind it all. All. Debris flow. Everything. And I think that that's an important addition, corrective, however you want to see it. It's going beyond just God is love. I'm not trying to underplay God is love. I think that's a powerful teaching. But I think there's more to God than just love in my spirituality. The Isaiah, he says, in Hebrew it is, I am Adonai, Yotzer Or, creator of light, Uvorei Choshech, and maker of light and creator of darkness, Ose Shalom, maker of peace, Uvorei Ra, and creator of evil. Now that word Ra usually translated as evil. But it's more complicated than that. And other place where it shows up is in classic traditional psychology, in which human beings are seen as having two primary impulses, a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Ra. There's that word again, Ra. And then those two words are usually translated as the good impulse, Yetzer Tov, the good impulse, and the evil impulse. And that they're in sort of competition with each other. But where it gets interesting is that in some important, very important classic Jewish texts, the evil inclination is seen as necessary. The rabbis say that without the Yetzer Ra, however those words should be translated, without the evil inclination, the rabbis say, nobody would ever make a baby. Nobody would ever build a house. You know, that there's something about this Yetzirah, that is, it is a driving, it is a driving force in us. And it's a big and interesting question. I don't think it's a, it's not something that we should see as, that we should deal with simplistically. But both in God and in humanity, there's something about our, you might call it chaotic impulses. You know, what I think what Jung might have described as the dark side. You know, the shadow. It should not, it's not to be defeated. It's to be befriended and brought into the love of God.
I hear echoes of the will to love and the will to power, the will to live and the will to power in that. But the one thing that came to mind when you were talking about scripture, Hebrew scripture, is we have, some high holy days around the Easter time in the Christian tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the little expressions that comes out of this is a reflection on Adam's sin. And it is referred to in the traditional text that we have as O felix culpa, O blessed fault, that earned for us such a Savior. In other words, without that fault,
yeah,
we wouldn't have had that Savior.
Wow. I'd never heard that expression. That's very, very interesting. Felix culpa. Blessed fault. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna think about that. Thank you. Hello.
Hi. Let me see if I remember what I was mentioning. Well, when you mentioned Shiva, it reminded me of Kalima. And that is the goddess of love and death. She is both shown procreating, and she is shown knives cutting off people. Her thing is heads. No, heads are around her neck. And the hands are around her. It's her girdle. And this is as you are talking about, that we are love and we are evil. What you said really registered with me, because some people I've talked with, and they were serious about the devil, like it's separate. And that's not true. And I can remember in 1979, I had a surgery for my heart, and afterward, I hated everyone. There was not one, except for my husband. He's the only one I didn't hate. I hated my parents. I really hated the doctor. I mean it. I mean, there was no one I could talk to where eventually I didn't hate him. And took me years to get over that, and I'm not over it. I am still an angry woman. And so I really appreciated you mentioning that God is love and God is anger. And thank you. It's okay to be angry sometimes.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony. It's a very powerful testimony. Is Kali? Did you say Kalima? And is she a Hindu goddess also? Kali.
Oh, Kali, yeah.
I feel like there was one other thought that had come to me. It'll come back. But anyway, thank you. That was very moving and interesting. Oh, I know. I did want to. I'm sorry, Jackie. I did want to echo and say that I share the idea, the feeling, the belief that you expressed, that it's important for us to not see, you know, evil as being separate from God, because I think that that leads into very dangerous places of dividing the world into, you know, us and them. You know, we are God's people, they are the devil's people, or whatever. And I see that as an extremely dangerous and problematic idea. I would much rather explore, you know, all of those dimensions of God that are in all of us. So, thank you. Yes, Jackie?
Well, I was just sitting here wondering, would we be of any value to God if we hadn't had to struggle with evil?
Ah.
Where would our spiritual muscle be?
Right.
I think it's...
And how boring we would be.
Yes. I think it's what makes us who we are.
Thank you. I feel like we should end on a good note. Does this group ever sing? Oh, you sort of sang at the beginning, right? So can we close with a wordless song? All right. It's pretty easy. No words other than lie, lie, lie. But this is a song that was written by some friends of mine who are part of a musical group in Jerusalem, but they call it Out of the West, and they sang it when they came to visit Santa Barbara. That's the first half. One more time. Now the second half. So great to spend some time with all of you. Thank you so much.